So you're getting older and things are starting to change with your body, your skin. Oh, let's face it, everything. We've come to the right place. My name's Jill Gilbert and welcome to Anti-Aging Uncensored, the show for driven women who want real solutions to defy their age. I'm obsessed with all things health, wellness, beauty, anti-aging, and helping you tackle the challenging and oh so extraordinary next years of your lives. So who am I? I'm an entrepreneur, mom, and self-proclaimed product junkie who never shies away from telling it like it is. I've spent the last decade producing one of the world's premier digital health and wellness shows, and now I'm bringing the leading experts and innovators directly to you. So pull up a chair right next to me for the real talk you crave. I'm asking nitty-gritty questions to get the answers and solutions we all need. Slower metabolisms, skincare changes, sex life, or lack thereof, no topic is off limit. It's time to pour your libation of choice, get comfy, and dive into the next episode of Anti-Aging Uncensored. I'm willing to bet nearly every woman listening today can answer what happens next in this little scenario. As a woman, what happens when we sneeze, laugh, jump, run? If you're thinking about how we all unintentionally pee a little when these things happen, you're right. And it's actually a sign of a pelvic floor issue. If you're experiencing this, you're definitely not alone. Nearly one third of all women experience these symptoms. My guest today is a self-professed pelvic health evangelist. She's known as the Vagina Coach and is a driving force behind helping hundreds of women connect to their pelvic floors and overcome challenges like incontinence, painful sex, low back pain, and organ prolapse. Kim Fapponi is a certified fitness professional who became passionate about spreading information on pelvic health when she was pregnant with her first child. She is a published author, a passionate speaker, and a women's health educator who is determined to break through the taboos and redefine the way we think of women's health. Let's dive in and find out how we can take control of our own pelvic health. Welcome, Kim, to Anti-Aging Uncensored. I have been so looking forward to this conversation.
I really appreciate you having me. Kegels are anti-aging, so we got to get them in there.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I didn't know that. I'd love to start off this conversation by having you explain to our listeners, what is a vagina coach?
I kind of just made up a title. I didn't grow up thinking that I was going to become a vagina coach, didn't even know it was a thing. And I guess really, again, I kind of just made it myself, but I grew up with this fear, fascination of pregnancy and birth and how women carried on after giant babies came out of tiny vaginas. And knowing my mom had had issues, I really was determined to, well, first of all, I thought I wouldn't have children, but then when I decided I wanted to have a different story. And so that's kind of how it started. And I had a background in fitness. And when I was going through my own pregnancies, I recognized, what I was trying to do, the research I was trying to do to educate myself more about how to avoid episiotomy, how to prevent incontinence, that type of thing. I feel like I went in fairly informed. Knowing what I know now, I realized there was a lot more for me to know, but I just recognized this huge void in information that's given to women about the pelvic floor. And so I combined my personal training background and did doula training. And I started working initially with pregnant women and preparing them for birth. And then that sort of went now into postpartum recovery. And then there was people coming to me saying, well, I had my babies 5 years ago. Can you still help me? And then it became, I've never had children, but I have this problem. Can you help me? And so it kind of, my work covers the breadth of major life cycles, I guess, or life stages that people with a vulva and vagina go through. And vagina coach, the term, I was speaking to a group of women entrepreneurs. This is about 4 years ago now. And my talk was about how optimizing your pelvic health can make you a better entrepreneur. And I got up on stage and all the other speakers were some sort of a coach, strategy coach, marketing coach, some element of business coaching. And I came up and I just said, you know, my name is Kim Bopney and now you have a vagina coach in your business. And it kind of just came out and, you know, had a good reaction, but it was this light bulb moment that I said, that is really what summarizes what I'm doing in my work, you know? So that's kind of how it started.
I love it. So for those of us that are a little bit unknowledgeable about pelvic floor, Can you describe what the pelvic floor is and what are the issues? And maybe even on top of that, as part of the part of your answer, might be some of the symptoms that are going on that we might be noticing.
For sure. Yeah. So the pelvic floor is an underrepresented part of the body. It is so important to so many things, but it really gets very little attention. And the attention that it might get is make sure you do your Kegel exercises, and that's kind of it. So we have our pelvis, and if you can imagine kind of four bony points, so think of your pubic joint or pubic bone at the front, your tailbone at the back, and then if you were kind of are rocking back and forth on a really hard surface, you might feel two bones in one in each butt cheek. Those are your sits bones. So those four points are attachment points for the pelvic floor muscles. And so they close off our pelvic outlet, and they are responsible for our continence. So being able to control and distinguish between pee, poo, fart. They are responsible for organ support, bladder, uterus, rectum. They are responsible for our pelvic and spinal control and stability. And they're responsible for our sexual response. So super, super important jobs that the pelvic floor has, and we are never given any education about it. And it's not typically until things are going maybe a little bit sideways that people start to learn about the importance. So the more common signs of pelvic floor challenges or pelvic floor dysfunction would be things like, well, the more common types, I'll start out there, would be incontinence, organ prolapse, pelvic pain, pain with sex, chronic low back pain. I would say those are the most common.
And what is organ prolapse?
Organ prolapse is when the bladder, the uterus, and or the rectum shift out of their optimal position, and they can start to create bulges into the walls of the vagina, the front wall or the back wall, or the uterus from the top. And yeah, you look very shocked, but statistically—
I have no idea.
Statistically, organ prolapse, if we look at people who've given birth, so pregnant, new parents at 6 weeks postpartum, over 80% of them have some degree of prolapse. And sometimes early stage, and it resolves, but most people will still have it. And the statistic afterwards is 50% of women, typically close to 50% of women have some degree of prolapse. And many of them don't even know because it can be asymptomatic or have symptoms that they would dissociate with their pelvis. Incontinence would be where we have the involuntary loss of urine. So people will jokingly say peezing or sneeze pee. People say, I can't go on a trampoline anymore. So that's when little bits of urine leaks out over the day. You can also have urge incontinence where you have an overwhelming urge to go and can't make it to the bathroom in time. And oftentimes that would be a complete release of the bladder. Those are the two most common types of incontinence. And then pelvic girdle pain could be pubic joint pain, tailbone pain, hip pain, pain in and around the vulva, pain on the entrance to the vagina, pain with sex, often called dyspareunia. There's all sorts of pain syndromes that can be grouped into the pelvis. And then low back pain. So low back pain is hugely correlated to pelvic floor dysfunction. And there was a study in Canada that looked and found, I think it was 90 in their study, it was 93% of women with low back pain have some form of pelvic floor dysfunction. So the two of them are very closely tied. So just quickly, a couple of more common symptoms. So incontinence, we talked about the leaking or the sense of urgency or the feeling like you need to go all the time. Prolapse, early stage symptoms, any symptoms could be heaviness, pressure, feeling like there's something in the vagina, difficulty inserting a tampon or tampons being pushed out, pain with sex, feeling like a partner's fingers or penis or toys hits something on the inside, back pain. Sometimes people feel like, you know, they have a golf ball in their butt, like they're sitting on an egg almost or sitting on a small ball. So those would be the more common ones. And then back pain, again, we can have pain, and most people kind of, I think many people unfortunately have experienced low back pain. Yeah. So that's really just discomfort and tension, but yeah.
Well, that sounds promising for me. So I can't wait to hear about solutions, because I've had two back surgeries, low back surgeries. Wow. and deal with chronic back pain and kind of expect it for the rest of my life. So this is promising. So let's talk a little bit before we dive into solutions about women and aging and how the body is changing. And, you know, are we more prone to experience pelvic floor issues as we age, or like, or are there ages and milestones that we should be expecting certain changes to occur?
Yeah. So if you have a female pelvis, if you have a vulva and a vagina, you are more prone to pelvic floor challenges than people with a male pelvis. That's one thing. And yes, I'm a woman, and you know, people who identify as a woman or female anatomy owners will go through similar stages. And that may involve pregnancy. It may involve childbirth. It will always involve, for everybody, menopause. But there's also hormonal fluctuations throughout our life. So it's not like to say that when you reach this age, then this happens. There's different ages for different stages, but all of those things can influence pelvic floor function, not just muscle function, but also the health of the tissues as well. Hormones play a huge role in the sensations and the suppleness that we have within our tissues and the vaginal walls. So especially as we are approaching menopause, we want to stay on top of that. So it's, yes, as we age, like any other part of our body, we have decreases in collagen, we have decreasing hormones change, we oftentimes aren't as active. Like, there's many things that can contribute to aging, but there's many things that we have within our control. And that's why I said, kind of half jokingly, that Kegels are anti-aging. So if we can keep the pelvic floor working optimally, then even though we are faced with changes in hormones or changes in lifestyle or carrying additional loads through pregnancy, whatever it is, we're better prepared to manage those. And we can usually catch warning signs earlier so we can intervene or have some healthcare professional help us at that point.
That is really good information as far as being able to utilize something for prevention. Yes. Almost like, should we be integrating it into our daily habits? So, well, let's talk about, you know, the things that we should be concerned about. So for instance, a lot of times things happen to women my age and we just like, well, this is just what happens. This is what happens as we get older. Is there like a stage or something that says we need to be more concerned about it? Or should we just be saying this is top priority? We need to be doing this.
Yes. That's what you should be saying. In my opinion, I've worked in this field for about 16 years now and have experienced pelvic floor challenges myself. I know the mental toll that especially pelvic organ prolapse can take on a person's life and how it can interfere with our quality of life. And so many people also say, I wish somebody had told me, or I wish I had done this. And, you know, hindsight, of course, is 20/20. But if we were to introduce the concept of pelvic health and pelvic floor fitness to girls, to younger girls when they start menstruating, to people when they start going through menstruation, that is the first time where we're experiencing changes in hormones and our body having adaptations. And it's the perfect time to introduce the concept that this part of the body is incredibly important to so many things that you do. It's where we drive our power and our confidence, our creativity. It's the foundation of our core. And so having language to help people understand that that's part of the core and it's a muscle group and it requires maintenance, like working out in the rest of our body, then that would make a huge shift in what women potentially face as they go through other life stages. And we have, you know, on average, women waiting 6.5 to 7 years before they actually go and address the problem. And if you think of it from a male perspective, if a man had something wrong with his penis, he would be making a call 2.5 seconds later. And women are fed messages that that's just how it is. Like, bladder leakage is just part of being a woman. Just put a pad in. Oh, you've had children. And it can be from medical providers. It can be from friends. It could be from family members. So we're fed these messages and then we just like, oh, well, I guess it's starting okay. And then even if we decide we do want to take care of it, we don't necessarily know who to talk to. So we end up going to the doctor, and then we're on medications, and we miss an opportunity to see pelvic health physio. And then we're also oftentimes mothering. We may have, you know, we have children we're raising. Maybe we have elderly parents. We're working full time. We have a, you know, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. So the self-care ends up going down to the bottom of the list. And then when you decide to do something, it's often years later. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, women don't know pelvic health physio or pelvic health physical therapy, if you're in the States, is pretty much, I think, the most underused women's health resource that we have. And if more people knew about that, they could proactively see them or speak to their doctor and get a referral if it's required. But in most places, you can just call and book and make your own appointment. And then it's something that we're aware of and we're informed along the way. And we recognize challenges earlier and we know who to go see. So we're not waiting and suffering in silence. And then finally, it's like so bad that we go to the doctor and then we get either prescribed medication or surgery. And those absolutely play a role. We need medical people on our team, but I don't believe that they're our first line of defense. So pelvic health physical therapy, I think, is who our first stop should be. And then they can refer out from there if needed.
Hey there, it's Jill with a quick break from the conversation. Do you women feel like your body is starting to rebel and you're just aching to take back control again? For years, you've given so much to so many, and somehow parts of you just got lost in the mix. I know this because that's how it was for me. Well, it's time for you to make your comeback. You heard me right. That's why I wrote a 5-step blueprint for how to start living your best years from this day forward. It's called Wicked, Ageless, and Doing Epic Shit. And you can download your own free copy today by visiting wickedawesomeyou.com/ebook. And now let's get back to the show.
I love the notion of making a plea for this health to be taught to younger women. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 50s. I never would have thought that they would teach something like this. I look back that it would ever been needed. And I think because we align the vagina with sexual activity only, people are going to be averse to teaching that sort of therapy. Is that what you found?
Yeah, I think there's lots of different views on that. It could be that they don't want to introduce the concepts of being sexually active or sex at a young age. Like there's so many polarized views, I would say, on that. But I believe in empowering people with information, and especially our kids. Just if we can talk about it and normalize it, I think that empowers them. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes less of this taboo hush hush topic that we carry throughout the rest of our life.
Yep. So let's talk solutions. Kegels, I know, are one, but what are the solutions? What are the protocols that we should be doing? What should women be doing every single day?
Yeah. So there's lots that influences our pelvis. So diet is one, our posture is one, fitness. So what we do for exercise, if we exercise, so lifestyle habits, like, are we active or are we sedentary? Do we sit a lot? What position do we sit in? Those are some main ones. And diet-wise, it's things like there can be bladder irritants or things that can set off urgency or sensations of needing to go or frequency. Also, if we're eating inflammatory foods, a lot of inflammatory foods and sugars, that type of thing, that creates inflammation in our body, which can directly influence the function in our muscles, the sensations that we may have in our pelvic organs. From a movement perspective, if we are moving, what are we doing? Do we participate in high impact activity all the time, really heavy lifting, lots of running, that type of thing? Are we doing any fitness at all? Or maybe we sit most of the day. And then if we're sitting a lot, do we end up sitting in a position that's not really great for our pelvic floor, that can contribute to some challenges? And then there's Kegel exercises. So we kind of, when I'm working with people, we kind of look holistically at lots of different things. The main focus that I do is specializing in the movement and the posture and fitness side of things. Mm-hmm. And Kegel exercises are a voluntary contraction, lift, and relaxation of that group of muscles, of the pelvic floor muscles. Most people associate a Kegel exercise with just a squeeze. And oftentimes, because of that interpretation, they will squeeze their inner thighs or they'll squeeze their glutes, their butt cheeks, thinking that they're doing a Kegel exercise. And that the problem is people hear that they're supposed to do Kegels, but nobody ever spends the time to teach you how to do them. There's never an evaluation of the pelvic floor, which is one of the benefits of pelvic floor physio. But you can self-assess as well. So if you can use one or two fingers inside your vagina, and then what you want to feel when you, I always say do it on an exhalation. So as you exhale, you can kind of pretend like you're blowing out a straw with your pursed lips. And you should, visualize picking up a blueberry with your vagina and your anus. And what you would feel ideally is a gentle hug of your fingers. So if your pelvic floor is hugging your fingers, and then a gentle drawing up as you pick up your blueberry, and then can you let that go? So that's just one visualization. There's lots of different visualizations. There's a couple of videos on YouTube called the core breath that will walk you through that. But Kegels are, once you understand how to access your pelvic floor and do a voluntary contract, lift and letting go, then we need to bring it into movement. So my 3C approach to pelvic floor fitness is do Kegels correctly, do them consistently so pretty much every day, and do them coordinated with movement. And that means not like when you walk and run, but when you're doing a squat, when you're doing a bicep curl, when you're doing a bridge exercise, bring the pelvic floor into it. And that, because it's the foundation of our core, it turns it into a core exercise.
Yes.
It helps improve function. It helps improve the reactivity and the responsiveness of the pelvic floor. So those are kind of the my standards or parameters around Kegels. And when I say consistently, yes, when I'll say yes, do them every day, knowing that most people every day means four to five times a week, which is great. And that's sure, if you can do them every day, that's fantastic. But the big piece also to consider is Kegels are more than just the up part. It's more than just thinking of building strength. We also need to learn how to relax. And a lot of people actually need more relaxation than they do activation. And so sometimes when they start doing Kegels, they end up with a worse situation. So okay, that's another
no idea that it was about the relaxation. That is so interesting. Yeah. So you're saying, you know, four to five times a week or every day, what length of time? And I'm all about like building routines and layering things into your day. Yeah. Like, is this something we could do, you know, in bed at night, and how long or how many?
Yeah. So So I do teach the core breath in a lying position. So sure, you could do that lying in bed. But again, we want our pelvic floor to be able to respond when we're upright, or when we're picking something up, or when we're standing up from a chair. Mm-hmm. Our leaking typically, or pressure feelings, don't happen when we're lying in bed. So if that's the only time we ever trained our pelvic floor, it wouldn't necessarily translate into picking up a load of laundry, or do you know what I mean? So we need to make sure we bring it out of the bed and into movement as well. But doing some in bed, if you like, then sure, of course you can.
Got it.
So it's about building a routine. It doesn't need to be hours and hours of pelvic floor fitness. Some gold standard at one point said three sets of 10 second holds done three times a day. And in my opinion, that's not necessarily realistic. And again, it doesn't talk about bringing it into dynamic movement. So I basically say in 10 minutes a day, you can have a good, well-rounded pelvic floor fitness program that you incorporate into another workout. It doesn't have to be two separate things. It can be if you want them to be. But once you understand the philosophy, so I run a 28-day challenge that covers this. And once you get the foundations, then you can bring it into any weightlifting, any body weight exercise that you do. You can bring that core awareness and pelvic floor engagement in.
So I was going to ask you, because I saw that you offer the Buff Muff Challenge.
Yes.
And I think there's another program you also offer. Maybe you can share a little bit of information about that.
Yeah. So for people that are not pregnant, the Buff Muff Challenge is typically where people start. So it's a 28-day challenge. It's app based. So you need to have an app, phone with the app on it. Mm-hmm. And it takes you through a different workout every day. So each day you open it up, you have a series of five exercises to do that, again, takes about 7 to 10 minutes, depending on the day. And there's release exercise and there's activation exercise. It's movement based. And there's a couple of education pieces along the way, but it's an engaging way You get points for completing your tasks. There's a little chat function so you can ask me questions or connect with other people. And there's also bonus content that you can get access to when you're, if you're actually completing your tasks each day, you collect points for that. So it's an engaging way. It's fun. It's informative. The best part is usually, and yesterday was actually the 2-week mark of the current challenge, by about 14 days in, people are already experiencing huge wins. And they'll say, I went for a run today and I didn't wear my pads, or I didn't have any leaking. I didn't wake up at night to go pee last night. And so change happens quite quickly when you're consistent with it. And from, so that's where people typically start. I also have a full online pelvic floor wellness and fitness program called Kegel Mojo, which is a self-directed program that has a bunch of education videos, exercise library, workouts, guest expert interviews, and it's meant for you to be able to refer back to it anytime. You have lifetime access and you can watch those videos and you can learn. You can put together your own workouts based on the exercises that are in there. And so it was meant to kind of be more self-directed. And then if you're pregnant, kind of have the similar version, except the challenge is called the Birth Like a Boss. It's a 28-day program for birth prep. And then I have a full program called called Prepare to Push, which is again more in depth into preparing your body for birth and recovery.
It's so interesting because I when I was pregnant, I was prepared. I was preparing. I was doing my Kegels and all of that, you know, because I was like, I'm going for it. I'm going to do. And I was calling it natural childbirth, but that's not what it's called. But whatever, vaginal childbirth, right. As I learned in the hospital very quickly. But I ended up not even needing it. They ended up having to do like an emergency C-section. So I was like, but then the sad part was that it didn't occur to me to continue.
Right.
It felt like it was so episodic that it was just something for this episode in your life or this, you know, monumental milestone in your life, and then you're done and you don't need to worry about it. And to this day, I've never done it. So I love the idea of you coaching and doing daily reminders. I do think that that is extremely helpful because you read a magazine article and you get the 5 exercises that are going to, you know, trim your thighs or whatever, and you do them for a day, but it's like, you really have to.
Yes. You have to go with your habit. Yeah, for sure. And that's a huge piece about it is, and some people will come in and say, I do these before bed every day, or I do them first thing in the morning, and people get into their little routines, and that's what gets the consistency piece. So it's an essential component for sure.
So where can people find your products and coaching programs?
Vaginacoach.com is my website and everything can be found there. And if you are on social media, my handles are Vagina Coach as well in all the places. Instagram is typically where I hang out the most, but yeah, Vagina Coach, you'll find me.
So one last question before we sort of sign off, and that is, what would you tell your younger self in regards to her future health?
So a lot of what I learned after. And my younger self, I had an inclination about the importance of pelvic health. I would have, I kind of though was like you in the sense that even though I knew what I knew, I still looked at pelvic floor exercise as something that was, you do them when you're pregnant and early postpartum and then you're good. And so I think my younger self, I would have said, this is part of your everyday life. It's going forward. It's like brushing your teeth. We go see a dentist once a year, even if we don't have any symptoms. I think we should be seeing a pelvic floor physiotherapist or physical therapist once a year, even if we don't have any symptoms. And we need to be keeping consistent with a fitness regime for our pelvic floor. That's what I would tell myself.
This was so, so helpful. I mean, for just selfishly for me, I am going to start thinking about this more, especially when I do certain moves and sitting in certain ways around my back.
Yep.
That would be immensely, immensely helpful. So, I can't thank you enough. And hope to have you back sometime to talk about progress and see what the ladies are doing.
Yeah, I would be happy to keep you posted. And yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much to Kim for joining me today. She gave us all some actionable steps to take right away, which I love. And if you're looking for more, you can find Kim's pelvic health programs and coaching for women at any stage in life, like pregnancy, motherhood, menopause. She's at vaginacoach.com, and links are available in our show notes at wickedawesomeyou.com/podcast. And if you like what you heard today, please tap the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the things we have coming up. We have so many incredible topics that will help you put yourself in control of your health, wellness, beauty, and more. So I'll see you back here next week at Anti-Aging Uncensored.